Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, March 28th, and some old friends help keep the Pistons season alive on Tuesday night. This is your boy Matt Shook, an AP writer out in Chicago covering the NBA, and Pistons follower my whole life and newspaper writer for the last decade or so as well. But today we're going to be talking about the results, or the one result that keeps the Pistons' playoff hopes hanging by a thread, and also share the second part of my interview with former Detroit Shock coach and general manager and Hall of Fame women's basketball icon Nancy Lieberman. On Tuesday, we had part one, and we're going to have part two, which is more of a Detroit Shock and City of Detroit-centric portion of the interview, so I'm excited to share that one with you guys. And also, we're going to look ahead to tonight's G League playoff game for the Grand Rapids Drive, a one-game series against the Raptors 905 on the road. Obviously, the Drive will be playing with heavy hearts after the death of Zeke Upshaw on Monday after he collapsed in Saturday night's game. But there were mixed results on Tuesday night for the Pistons, but the more important result, went their way as the LA Clippers topped the Milwaukee Bucks 105-98 at Staples Center in LA. The first of a tough four-game road trip for Giannis and his crew from Milwaukee. Tobias Harris had 19 points and Boban had all five of his in the fourth quarter for the Clippers, who are now just 1.5 games out of the Western Conference playoffs. Although it might hurt to see Tobias in the playoffs for another team, not going to lie there. But the Pistons desperately need the Bucks to go in the toilet for the rest of the season and probably need Milwaukee to drop all four of these road games, and one is down with three to go, if they hope to climb back into the race for the Eastern Conference playoffs. LeBron and the Cavs didn't help on Tuesday as Cleveland fell to the Miami Heat 98-79. Pistons are now 5.5 games behind Miami, who is seventh in the Eastern Conference playoffs and also have the tiebreaker over to Detroit. The tragic number as it pertains to Miami is now at 2, and the Heat have 7 games to go. Detroit has 8 games to go. So 15 chances between those two teams of two bad results happening, including the Heat's next stretch of hosting the Bulls, the Brooklyn Nets, the Atlanta Hawks, and then at Atlanta. So certainly the Pistons' dreams of passing them are going to be gone very, very soon. However, the tragic number as it pertains to the Bucks is still at 4, and they have a tougher schedule the rest of the way as compared to Miami, like I said, including that 3 of the next 4 games of that road trip coming up next. The Pistons trail the Bucks by 5 games. Still, all of this is completely improbable and almost certainly not going to happen, but it's what we have to hold on to for the next few days. The Pistons do have the tiebreaker against Milwaukee in terms of division record. So like I said, the tragic number is still at 4. Milwaukee plays at Golden State on TNT on Thursday night. Kevin Durant said that he will be back for that one. Steph Curry is out for at least the first round of the playoffs. Klay Thompson will not play on Thursday night. He's got a thumb injury. Draymond Green has missed games lately as well because he's sick, but he is expected to be back. So KD and Draymond versus all. So certainly no slam dunk as far as the Warriors topping the Bucks, which you might think if those all guys were healthy, but they're still the Warriors, and you'd think Durant would want to perform well in his first game back after missing 6 because of rib soreness, and you'd think that the Bucks see an opportunity of possibly beating Golden State on the road on Thursday. So that will be coming. That game will be after the Pistons play host to the Washington Wizards earlier on Thursday night in Detroit, by the way. The Pistons could technically pass Washington, who is 6th in the Eastern Conference, but that tragic number there is just 1. So obviously a loss to the Wizards on Thursday night would bury that chance along with pretty much every other chance. But as I've said, Pistons fans need to hope Milwaukee loses every game of this 4-game roadie. They've got Golden State on Thursday, and then the Lakers and the Nuggets to close out the trip. And then Boston comes to Milwaukee for the first game back at home for them. So a tough trip coming up for them, and then a tough return home as well. So the Pistons need Milwaukee to lose every game of this road trip, and then the Pistons need to beat Washington on Thursday and then go ahead and sweep the Knicks and Nets in New York over the weekend. And then that magic number is still at 4, with the Bucks having 5 games and Detroit having 5 games after that. So at that point, maybe then we can start thinking crazy. But positive results in those 6 straight games are still a ways away. 6 straight games in terms of 3 straight losses coming up for the Bucks and 3 straight wins for the Pistons. Not something you certainly want to count on, but you can be hopeful for it. We can be hopeful that maybe that there would be playoff basketball in Detroit is, however, unlikely it seems so still at this point. But we're going to have more with Basketball Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman here in a second, and including her recollections about the past for the Detroit Shock and maybe a future for the WNBA back in Detroit as well. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to reach men in that demo, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So go ahead and email me at matt_shoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Nancy Lieberman joining us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And one of those things that the WNBA came about in the 1990s, and the Detroit Shock came in as an expansion team a little bit early on in the run. You were the coach and general manager for three seasons there. First off, when you think about your time back in Detroit, what are some of the memories that come back to you about your time with the Detroit Shock?
I love Detroit. I'm very grateful for what it meant to me and what they did for me, giving me that opportunity to go to that next phase of my career, because, you know, in the inaugural season of the WNBA in 97, I was the oldest player in the league, and I played for the Phoenix Mercury at 39. So I knew I was closer to making a change in my career than to, you know, playing three or four more years. And, you know, Tom Wilson, you know, when he, you know, made me the coach and the head coach and GM, that was very, it was important, because we got a chance to start this franchise out on the right, you know, the right footing. And I remember being with Mr. Davidson, and I asked him, I said, what is it that you want? Do you want to win? Do you want to make money? Do you want to change culture? What is it that I need to do with our team and staff? And he said all of those things. I remember after my first year, I think we made $150,000 roughly. And it was really cool, because I walked into his office and I said, sir, we're in the black. You would have thought I said we made $10 million. He had this smile on his face. And, you know, we still have the best expansion percentage in the history of the five pro sports. I mean, we were 17-13. We missed the playoffs on the last day of the season. And in year two, we were the first expansion team to make the playoffs in WNBA history. You know, so I wanted to serve, you know, the city. You know, me playing, I don't even know if you remember me playing Parker, you know, Parker and the Man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was mouthing off on radio that women couldn't play, and why do we have this team? And, you know, we've ended up becoming brother and sister because of the opportunity for us not only to play against each other and for him to lose decisively to me, but also for him to gain respect. And, you know, he's one of the biggest advocates for women. And, you know, I love those guys. And we did change the culture in Detroit. I had my camps there for many years. And one of my heroes, you know, not a lot of people talk about it, or maybe I should say it more, but when I was 14 years old, the first basketball camp I ever went to in the Poconos was the Dave Bing Howie Land All-Pro Basketball Camp. And I met Dave Bing. And he's always been one of my heroes. He's my friend. He's a Hall of Famer. We're on boards together, which is ironic. But that man just personifies class. And I just love him, and I'm grateful. So Detroit means a lot to me on a lot of levels.
Nancy, I'm starting to think that you know everybody in the basketball world.
All that means is that I'm old. I just love the fact that these people are a part of my life. I mean, it's amazing. It's humbling. I shake my head, but I'm glad it's me. I'm really glad it's me, because I know what to do with it. And I do the same. How people treated me, I turn around and I try to pay it forward to the next generation.
Now, Coach, you mentioned you built the foundation, took the second-year team to the playoffs in the WNBA, and the franchise continued to grow even after you left Detroit, winning three championships before leaving in 2009. What do you see with the WNBA kind of going forward? And A, is there a chance that it might ever come back to Detroit someday, in your opinion? And what's kind of the next 10 years for professional women's basketball look like?
The WNBA is really in good stead. Lisa Borders, our commissioner, is really, really bright and just has such an amazing handle on business and what exactly should happen. And she's got just a great vision and understanding. And she works really well with, you know, the Mark Tatum, the deputy commissioner, and Adam Silver. So, you know, they're going to continue to expand the business side and the TV and just the awareness, not only in America, but around the country. But you have to remember, the players are exponentially getting better in numbers. You know, you'll always have the debate, you know, is Taurasi better than Lieberman? Is Deladon better than Woodard? Or, you know what, it's not a contest. We all did our thing in our time, and we did it to the best of our ability. I don't have a problem saying I love Diana Taurasi. I think Diana might be the greatest player ever. I love her. You know, I'm a fan of it. I'm not in a contest. You know, I did my body of work. I think it worked out well for me and for the history of women's basketball. But the players, more of them are going to get better and more experience and more understanding of how to play the game at the next level at where the game is now. So I hope a team comes back to Detroit. I hope somebody just loves basketball so much and they have the wherewithal to buy a team and to bring a team back, because, you know, Detroit is a championship team and a championship town. And they deserve the best of the best, and they deserve, you know, diversity in sport.
Now, you mentioned Becky Hammon earlier. What do you feel like is the next couple barriers that are kind of on the horizon? Is it like a Division I men's head coaching job that a woman could do? Is there something that kind of stands out to you that you feel like could get accomplished here in these next few years?
You know, people like Becky or myself or Jenny Busick, or there's some women that could coach on any level, but let me say this, that could be NBA or college men or women. This is not our birthright. Just because it's Me Too doesn't mean that we have to be given a job. There are some damn good men's assistant coaches in the NBA in college that are lifers like we are. And they're fighting for the same jobs, you know. So just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I have entitlement to something. I have to earn that right. Becky has to earn that right. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. When the time comes and that door opens, our job is to be prepared for that opportunity and to have built as many allies as we can. Because you can't do it by yourself. You know, you've got to have people that believe in you and trust you and champion you. I couldn't have done what I did as a head coach in the NBA D League and make the playoffs if these guys didn't. I am thankful to Darvin Ham and Eric Musselman and Chris Finch and Brian Gates and Nick Nurse. And I could go down the list of my competitors, my fellow head coaches that championed and helped me, and coaches Del Harris and Alvin Gentry and all these guys, Vinny Del Negro, that opened up their playbooks, opened up their practices to me. If you don't have that, you have nothing. So when the time is right, it's going to happen. It will happen at some point. When the commissioner says he foresees this happening, you have the right person believing in that next level of opportunity. And now it's our job to earn it. If Becky goes to Colorado State, her alma mater, it's not because she's just an alum. It's because she's busted her behind. She's been in an unbelievable system. She's been with the best of the best, and she's dedicated herself.
Well, Nancy Lieberman, speaking of being ready for opportunities and breaking down barriers, I want to thank you for joining us today here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. You will be in Detroit on July 13th with the Big Three as the coach of Team Power, the former Detroit Shock coach. Again, this was a great conversation. I really enjoyed having you on, and we'll look forward to seeing you this summer.
All right. Well, thank you, and thanks to all my friends at the Pistons and in Detroit.
I have a WNBA story, and it's kind of interesting, but also kind of shameful in some way. It was my first summer home after going to college after freshman year, when you're home again living with your parents, and you're going out, hanging out with your friends and drinking, and they probably know it, and your parents kind of hate you, and rightfully so. Kind of weird times when you go home while you're in college for those summer or Christmas times. I don't recommend doing that, by the way, if at all possible. Just try to not go home for the summer or for the holidays for extended periods of time. But my friend and I was bored in our hometown. We were staying back in Royal Oak and looking for something to do. So we went and snuck into one of those hotels, the nice hotels on Big Beaver and Troy, and went into the pool and the hot tub area just to hang out. Not really to cause trouble, but just to go in the pool and to enjoy a nice little Saturday or Sunday night or whatever it was. Again, don't go home for the summer if you're in college. Stay in your college town or go get an out-of-state job or internship or something like that, or do the American Pie 2 thing with your friends and just rent a house or something like that if possible. But anyways, there was a woman working out in the adjoining gym to the pool and the hot tub area, and she was really getting after it in the workout room, and she was just a really attractive, like a really hot, dark-skinned woman, and of course, we were taking note of her as all this was going on. Then after she was done, she came into the hot tub, so we tried to strike up conversation with her, of course, good times, and for some reason, I actually remember, I think the MLS All-Star game was on TV, where the All-Stars play against a bunch of players from, or maybe it was one of the club teams, or a bunch of foreigners, or something like that from Europe, and so it was kind of a way into conversation with her, as she was obviously an athletic person and watching the game, into the game. So she would go on to tell us that she's a pro athlete and in town to play the Detroit Shock the next night at the Palace as a member of the Phoenix Mercury. And she said her name was Adriana. She liked us, and she actually said she'd leave tickets for us at the game the following night. Well, we Googled her and found out that she was Adriana Moise Pinto, a guard off the bench for the Mercury, and also a Brazilian hero, as she was a national team player on the basketball team from Brazil. Anyways, it's not that interesting of a story, but we did go to the game. She left us tickets, and she dropped like a career-high 19 points off the bench. She was just a bench player, but just went off and had like maybe 19 or 17 points and just knocked down a bunch of threes. The Mercury lost the Shock. I looked it up, and I did find the game. It was in 2002, 91-75, win for the Detroit Shock. We yelled at her during the game. We yelled to her, and she acknowledged us and stuff like that. We had great seats from her that she gave to us. And then also, she also gave us passes to meet with her after the game, which was included in the ticket envelope at will call that we picked up. So we met with her up after the game, and we probably had these ideas and thoughts of things that we were going to do with her after the game, take her out to the bar or meet up with some of our loser friends or something like that. But it turns out that they had to head to the airport to fly to Sacramento, and that was that. And the story checked out. I looked and I saw that that's where the next game was. But we gave her our goodbye hugs, and that was it, never to be seen again. That's my dumb story, but there is kind of a point to it, and that is that, you know, as times have changed here, and I can remember that was the only Detroit Shock game I ever went to, and I lived in the Metro Detroit area while they were there. And that it was kind of a joke to us, especially male sports fans back then, and maybe even to some of you listeners right now, the WNBA is still kind of a joke to you. And I don't profess to follow it closely. Obviously, I'm aware of who the teams that are in the finals, and I'm aware that Diana Taurasi pretty much wins all the championships and MVPs, and like Nancy Lieberman mentioned, is considered by many to be the best women's basketball player of all time. But if the WNBA ever came back to Detroit, I think that especially given these times that, you know, you just sit back and you're apathetic about all the things that are happening politically, and then look what happens politically and with our society and with our culture when you're not doing things to try to advance certain areas of interest. And I'm not trying to make this into a political speech, but women's basketball being a viable professional option and something for young women to look up to is something that we should be not only, but we should be promoting that in our society. And it should be something that as sports writers and as sports fans, we should be taking some responsibility, because you look up someday and a guy like Donald Trump is president. There, I said it. And it's a complete disaster and shameful for our country. So maybe as we go on through hopefully the post-Trump world as soon as possible, maybe we can move on and start thinking about the things that we can do to be better. And in Detroit, if there ever was a WNBA team that came back here, I know that I would at least give them a shot and probably go out of my way to support them, especially if you ever have a daughter. I have a young niece who needs people to look up to and needs role models and in all types of parts of society. So that's my speech about the WNBA and a hopeful thought that maybe it comes back to Detroit. But moving on. The Grand Rapids Drive playing their first playoff game in franchise history. The game is actually Friday night, not Wednesday night, as I think I maybe had mentioned earlier on the podcast, and certainly in prior podcasts, because it was originally scheduled for Wednesday, but they have recently changed it to a Friday night game. They moved the whole playoffs back. I don't think this is pertaining to the death of Zeke Upshaw that they moved it back. But anyway, the Drive will be playing on Friday night in Mississauga, Ontario, against the Raptors 905 in a single elimination game that would advance either team to the next round to play a 2-out-of-3 series against the Westchester Knicks. Coach Jerry Stackhouse had the Raptors 905 in fourth place in the Eastern Conference, one spot ahead of Grand Rapids. The leading scorer for the Raptors 905 is Lorenzo Brown, the former Grand Rapids Drive player who also played in training camp and summer league for the Detroit Pistons. The Raptors 905 also start Kennedy Meeks, the big man formerly of North Carolina. It's only their third season as a team. They are the defending G League champions, and they have a really nice following up there in Canada. They had Pascal Siakam there last year, which shows partly why they won the title, as he's now an impact bench player for the Toronto Raptors, one of the best teams in the NBA. So he is, and they are, a nice little success story for the G League. And the Drive will try to emulate that and try to knock them off on Friday night. Like I said, the game Friday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, and it will be carried on Facebook Live, according to the G League website. So you can check that out. 7 o'clock Friday night, winner take all, Drive against the Raptors 905. So we'll be rooting for the Drive to win that one. But we're going to be talking about the upcoming game Thursday night against the Washington Wizards for the Pistons on tomorrow's podcast. Also chasing some special guests as well for the end of this week and also the beginning of next week. Programming note is that there's probably not going to be a podcast on Friday. We do one every one of the 5 weekdays usually. But with Friday being Good Friday and also myself traveling the end of this week back to Detroit, I'm probably not going to be doing a podcast on Friday. If something happens, or maybe I do find some time, I will put one together. But like I said, don't plan on a Friday podcast this week. And that gets you set up for the summer, because I think in the off season we're probably going to cut the Friday podcast as well, just to give you a little bit of advance notice. But give us a follow on social media, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, @SCHOCH, _ after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and then give us a like on the Facebook page at Lockdown Pistons-Matt Shook. So thanks for listening, everyone. Appreciate all the support, and we will talk to you all again very soon.